visions. In our reading from the book of Revelation, we hear a beautiful vision of the peace and unity that Christ brings. The tree of life, its leaves are for the healing of the nations. This is a vision, of course, and not a detailed plan for how to get from here to there, how to bring all the nations of the world together with God at the center, with God as our light. Whether thinking of the Christian tradition and this reading or something else, many who think they know how exactly to get from here to there use many means to justify their actions, including violence as a way of uniting all peoples. So often movements in the history of the world have gone wrong when visions have taken on specific steps that others have been forced to follow. Today is May 1st, May Day. I wasn't sure I was going to get into all this, but just one word about that. There's nothing really wrong with the idea of sharing all of our possessions. It's very biblical, and there is such a thing as Christian socialism. But of course, we all know that what happened with Stalin and in Russia and with many people who think it's going to be good for all the people, but then these specifics and, of course, personal greed and desire for control corrupt the vision. We see the corruption of visions and the policies of nations and in religions, and it can happen anywhere at any time. It's hard to honor a vision sometimes, or even to understand a vision. And how do we in the Episcopal Church view this idea of visions, of God's revelation coming to us? And how do we support each other in doing the will of God, in following the way of Jesus when we feel we have a vision for how that should be done? You really have to ask sometimes, are visions helpful or not? In addition to the vision in the book of Revelation, which is of course a book of visions, imaginative representations as well of the political realities of the day, such as Rome being portrayed as a monster, we have that also in Revelation. In addition to this book of visions, we have a more specific vision found in today's reading from Acts. Paul has a vision in which a man says, "Come to Macedonia and help us." Paul goes and he finds Lydia, a worshiper of God and a dealer in purple cloth. Don't you love that detail? A dealer in purple cloth. And Paul speaks to her. And we are told that when Paul speaks to her, the Lord opened her heart. Lydia catches the vision. She doesn't see it with her eyes, but sees it with her heart. We gather from this and from our own experiences that others catch the vision when we share the good news of God, when we share the visions that we've received from God. Paul did not force Lydia to do anything. He shared what he felt called by God to share, and as he did, God touched Lydia, opening her heart, and she and her family were baptized and became supporters of Paul and this new movement. She invited them to stay in her home, and she supported them. God had been working on Lydia from some time, we gather, for she felt a desire for more than her successful business could offer. This purple cloth detail is important because it shows she was selling to the well-off, the rich in society. She was doing well for herself, and of course, she was the head of a household, very unusual for a woman, very powerful, really, but that was not enough. She would go to the outskirts of the city. Imagine that, right? Imagine you've got everything that society thinks you could want, but you know you don't, and so you go to the outskirts. What would that be for you, the outskirts? She's looking for more. As one commentator notes, she comes to worship because she's hungering for something more in life, something beyond the commercial success she has apparently achieved. She is hungering for more because that restless spirit, who is surely in all of us before we know it, has stirred up a holy longing in her soul, a holy longing. That restless spirit, looking for more, it is in all of us. Why are we here? What is life about? Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, that famous quote from Augustine of Hippo. Monica, Augustine's mother, this was a long time ago, by the way, right, the 4th, 5th century. Monica, Augustine's mother, prayed for years that her vision, she was already a Christian, her vision for his life would come to pass, and it did, but not before Augustine had something of a vision himself. God knows our restlessness. God comes to us and invites us to find rest for our souls. And rest for our souls does not mean that we're sitting still, feeling that all is well with the world, but that even in the chaos and in the trouble of life, even in our striving to be about God's work in the world, we find that rest and that peace that is beyond our understanding. It is a gift from God. Visions can be dramatic and hard to miss, like the vision that took Paul to Lydia. But God, the Spirit, also gives us gentle nudges to bring us to places and people who can help us and support us, or to people we are called to help and support. We are both spiritual beings as well as ones who are very much part of the material world. There is a unity in this, which we see in the incarnation of Christ. Christianity, at its core, we reject a dualism that speaks of a spiritual world and a material world. It is just the world, God's creation. But because we see the world around us all the time, and we live in physical bodies that demand care and lots of attention, it can be easy to give less attention to our spiritual experiences. More of us have visions than talk about it. After all, it can seem a bit odd and not very Episcopalian, perhaps. I still remember coming back from being in England for a year, during which time I kind of had a vision and decided maybe Christianity had something going for it after all, being brought up not to believe in that. And I came back and I told my friends who were PhD students at UVA, and one of them told the others, she's had a vision. And when they said that to me, they were like, you didn't have a vision, did you? Because that would be crazy, right? So we don't talk about it a lot, but visions come, both big ones and small ones, ones that are hard to ignore, and some that we're not quite sure about. God uses our imaginations as well, bringing thoughts into our minds that are sometimes surprising and at other times in keeping with what we would expect we'd be thinking. Praying with Scripture is a great way to open ourselves to that, open ourselves to God and God using our imaginations. Today, being the first Sunday of the month, we actually have a group meeting around 11:30. To share experiences of praying with passages from the Bible, the First We Were Loved group. Being able to share with each other how we think or feel or believe God is at work in our prayer or in our lives generally, it's a real gift to be able to share that with someone. It's a gift for many reasons. One being that sharing our experiences help us to go deeper into them, to take time, right? Take a little time to be with that grace. This group is open to anyone who'd like to attend, whether you've been using the booklet with the scripture passages or not. You can come and maybe share an experience you've had of God, a vision that you didn't get from scripture. And if you'd like to see what this book is like, I have some extra copies of it still. It can be great to share our experiences of God, and sometimes we really want to talk with each other to help each other figure out what God is up to in our lives, and we call that discernment. This is what Lydia was doing, what Paul was doing, what they did together. It helps to be together to do it. And every vision requires interpretation. And that's why visions can be tricky. That's why, actually, in the history of Christianity, visions have not been highly valued. In fact, there was a time when all those mystics were coming around, years and years ago, that the church itself tried to suppress them. Because what was this? They were getting all these visions from God directly and not from the leaders of the church? Anyway, a bit suspect. I think one of the reasons we don't talk about visions much in the church is because we feel that one has, in the Episcopal Church, we don't want to say that one has to have a vision. This is one of the good reasons we don't talk about them. Because in some churches, you're told that if you don't have a specific experience of, say, the Spirit, like speaking in tongues, then something isn't quite right. You haven't quite arrived. And we would never, that we don't believe that. That's just not what we believe. In fact, we believe that Jesus Christ is the extraordinary manifestation of God in the world for everyone, so that we don't have to have any more visions. That Jesus, he's everything. We learn about God's vision for the world when we look to Jesus, to his life, to what he did in today's gospel, the healing, that he was all about healing, how he taught, how he gave himself, so that we can have, in fact, a mystical experience of God through the sacraments of the church, such as our sharing in the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. In our sharing of communion, we are united with each other and with all people in heaven and on earth and all creation. Just this past week in our Episcopal 101 class, we were talking about what does communion mean to Episcopalians, and it means many different things, but one thing it means overall, we say as the church, that Christ is truly present. We describe this as the real presence, and that's a pretty mystical thing. We pray for the grace to know this experience and to share it with each other and to invite others to join us. And when we pray and discern together, we understand God's vision more. God's vision that we share, what it means to go out into the world, what this, our experience today, sends us out to do, how we can be the people of God, be the church. Who is God calling us to be? There's this experience that we have here today, and then there's the need for discernment even of this. On Pentecost, which is 2 weeks from now, Pentecost being our big celebration as we are named for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say more then about how we as the members and friends of Holy Comforter are doing many things that we've discerned God is calling us to do. But I'll say more about that later. Now I'd like to say a little bit more, as I'm getting to my conclusion, about the role of community in interpreting visions and vision. As I've been saying, it helps to have each other because visions can be tricky things. As a bit of an aside, the centering prayer that we'll be doing on Tuesday, one of the reasons centering prayer is so valuable is because it's centering prayer, people talk about it as the pure experience of God that needs no interpretation, that we have in silence. Isn't that interesting? Kind of an interesting dynamic. This silence also leads to action, but in a different sort of way. So, back to visions. A vision such as Paul had, and he had a number of them, right? The road to Damascus. It can be a dramatic vision like that, or the sort of vision that Lydia had, gradually developing and unfolding in her heart, also dramatic, but in a quieter way. If you have had either sort of vision, I would really like to know about it. If you think the vision you're having could lead us to doing something new here at Holy Comforter, I would like to know about it. And we actually have a process for this. Maybe that seems odd, right? A vision and then a process? Is that odd? It might be. And I'm not sure that those who know about the process ever thought of it starting with a vision. Now, the thing about bringing your vision to a community of faith is that communities of faith don't move really fast. It can be a little frustrating, actually. But going slower can help with the discernment, and it makes it a true community effort, bringing us all closer together around what the Spirit is about. Going slower, it can be good. And here, I'm actually going to tell you a little bit about the process. Come to me and we'll discern together what God might be calling you or calling our church to do. And then you go to the ministry group that best relates to what you're feeling called to do, be that in, say, outreach or pastoral care and many other areas. And then with the ministry group, you meet with them and discernment happens and others get excited. Perhaps they catch the vision. One of the reasons it's really good to have a process is because quieter people are less likely to just go ahead and do something. And quite honestly, it keeps those of us who are not so quiet from being about our individual visions without anyone else knowing what we're doing, right? Helps to do it together. We hear of many visions in the Bible, and we know that God continues to speak to us in unexpected ways, perhaps in visions, as well as in ways that move our hearts, sometimes surprising, sometimes in keeping with what we've been expecting. God is so great. God is not limited. God is seeking you, seeking me, seeking us, reaching out to us, calling us forward in faith. Let us pray. O God, you love us so much and you reach out to us always. You warm our hearts and we long to rest in you. We long to follow you and help others know you. Guide us in all that we do, however you choose to guide us, that we may glorify you through our lives and in service to others. Amen.